Talking Trotters now, here at Maryborough on a beautiful day. Dan Malecki joins me. Hello, Dan.
Yeah, how are you, Paul?
I'm super. What a great day of racing we've had today, firstly, so far. We won't be able to cover off on all of them, but geez, there's been some highlights. Cravoche d'Or, he was awesome. Plymouth Chubb, yeah. Again, chasing. It's building some really nice rivalries, some of these three-year-old trotters, aren't they?
They are. Cravoche d'Or continues to get better. He had a soft run today and was entitled to win, and he did that. But he's got a presence about him now. Plymouth Chubb is going to be ODM for the rest of the series now, so it's going to make it, I'd say, impossible for Plymouth Chubb. He still went great. But Courage Stride, he had a strong hit out, didn't he?
Yep.
Chris Lang wasn't afraid to have him to have a hit out
strong
there.
Strong early.
He must have thought that he needed that sort of hard work, but... good luck for anything that might be Cravoche d'Or in the Colts and Goldings ranks. He's at the top of his game, and no Harry Stamper to deal with this time around. Mind you, that will set up some fantastic clashes going forward.
It's a unique thing too, isn't it? Because it's hard at the end of the season. So many people are looking forward to it. Horses progressing like Cravoche d'Or, that just since the Derby, I think he's taken it to another step and keeps continuing to take it. But then you have Harry Stamper, he's been in the paddock. He's probably enjoying every blade of grass that he's eating while these boys are out, still bashing themselves up, but having a lot of fun doing it and promoting their sport so well.
Yeah, oh, look, there's no doubt about that. And sometimes we get to see, it's great when we see them clash all the time, but every now and then you like to see them come with a picket fence next to their name, which is likely to happen by the time that they next clash. And they might be able to take that next step as four-year-olds to step it up into the open class. We've seen a number of four-year-olds been able to do that in the trotting ranks. Queen Elida was able to do it into her four-year-old year, and of course Mufasa Metro was another one.
Yep.
And I'm sure those two horses are right up there as well when you're putting them alongside what they've done as three-year-olds, alongside the two horses I've just mentioned. So I don't think they'll have any problem getting into that the higher grade against the open class horses. In fact, the open class horses better watch out.
I think it's so exciting because those horses you just said, Prison Artiste, the Elder Baron Zeus.
Yeah,
exciting horses, a lot of speed. All four-year-olds progressing. They're going to be five-year-olds.
Yep.
Then we've got this wave of three-year-olds coming through. The trotting ranks in Australia, I'm going to say, are so exciting to see. And I love it. And I know you love the trotters. It's just, I don't know, there's something about it, something quite unique.
Yeah, there was. And look, to be fair, I think my highlight of Inter Dominion night was actually the Trotters Grand Final.
Yep.
They didn't necessarily go that hard in the early part. They certainly didn't in the pacing final, but it produced a really good finish. We didn't have to rely. It's funny, the Inter Dominion, every track, there was sprint lanes at every track. But the only race that the sprint lane had an effect on was the pacing Grand Final. But in the Trotters, it was a tough performance. It was a great drive from Greg Sugars and just understanding his horse so perfectly. Majestuoso slipping away and Just Believe running him down. So it was a highlight race on the night, and therefore I think Just Believe's performance had to be, I think, my highlight for the Trotters of the year.
I take my hat off. I've done an interview with Greg, and it may have gone up before or after this one. I don't know which way I'll put him in. I'll worry about that in a sec. Anyone watches me stuff knows that it doesn't always work that way. The pressure on Greg, and they won the first heat of the series with Just Believe, and I spoke to him afterwards about winning it, and the amount that they put forward for our industry leading up to it, and just, you know, what it actually meant to those guys to then turn around and for them to win the last race, if you like, of the series. I think it was a pretty fitting result because they were outstanding. People say, oh, we see Jess and Greg all the time. They were outstanding. The amount of content that they gave day in, day out, for anyone that rang, anyone that spoke to them, was just sensational. And I think a real highlight of our Inter Dominion Carnival, as were, you know, everyone else. I think everyone stepped up to the fore and really know we've got to start promoting this industry so strongly.
Yeah, no doubt. And I must admit, I mentioned the highlight in racing performance, but even my heart goes out to Jess and to Greg. I mean, we know they're pretty experienced, even though they're still considered young, pretty experienced. I really admire their professionalism, the dedication that they put in. Not that anyone else in harness racing hasn't got that, but I think we've seen their progression. Jess had a really good full-time job. She's had a lot of experience in a lot of different areas, left that, concentrate on the horses. Clearly she's a horsewoman, and the match with her husband, the money that they've been making, they're pouring it into their property. They're only going to get better and bigger, and it was a pretty special moment to see them and share that. It was special for them, and you could tell, and I think it was special for a lot of other people around the periphery that know them and appreciate the hard work, the dedication that they put in, and the fact that, you know, any Victorian horse is able to win in a Dominion, particularly at home. It's an important for everyone else within harness racing, but the race itself was terrific, and it was a Group 1 drive, and often a great drive is associated with a win, you know, but that was just It was, as Dennis Cometti would say, it was centimetre perfect. Yeah.
Well, I actually watched it, and yeah, we were saying the same thing. As soon as he moved, he just wins because yeah, he went through. The second horse was awesome, Majestuoso. Yeah. So great to see him back. It's funny, great to see him back to form. Hasn't really been out of form. It's just that he hasn't been winning because, but just terrific. And then to see him win the Cranbourne Cup the other night, I think Andy and Kate, that's almost going to be called the Andy and Kate Cranbourne Cup. But what they're able to deliver with that race. I mean, it's exciting for him. We're coming into a massive summer of racing. Get horses like Majestuoso and them guys stepping up. Just Believe's back in work. I believe he came back in work today. So he only had a week off getting ready for the summer. It's going to be around. And what the Trotters have is so exciting with the Great Southern Star, the Grand Prix, Dullard Cup, the Aldebaran Park Maori Mile. Bendigo's going to be almost the start of it on January.
Cup
going to
night.
Go seven, Cup night. So it's so exciting. You must really look forward to seeing, you know, these high class superstar trotters really, you know, stepping up to the fore.
You know, I've always, when I was brought up as a kid, there was something about the summertime and harness racing. They seem connected. So the big races, summertime, nighttime, warmer weather, sure, all of that put together. But you expect the big racing to be at this time of the year. I reckon everybody involved in harness racing, participant wise, would expect that as well. So you want to have those top quality horses. There are so many options for them, and whether it's the pacing ranks or the trotting ranks, you know they're going to be good. You know they're going to be as good as they can possibly be. The programming now for the trotters is exemplary, particularly through the latter part of the summer and the early part of the autumn, with all those races that you talked about. And I think right at the moment, well, Just Believe will go in as a number one seed. There's not a lot of difference, but you know, between the quality and the class of a number of those horses, it'll often come down to barrier draws, depending on what distance it's going to be. So unless Just Believe probably has to take that next step to then dominate all the way through. He did it through the Inter Dominion series, but depending on what distance it's going to be, there's no guarantee that he'll be able to just dominate like he did. There's a number of horses putting their hands up, and I think that's great. It's going to be very exciting for the trotting series in the next couple of months in particular. And like we mentioned before, it'll be interesting to see. Those three-year-olds will probably go for a spell because they've gone through Breeders' Crown and for the Vic Bred. So we're probably not going to see many of them, if any, go through those races in the early part of the year, but it'll only be a few months in. You come about March or April, that could be a different story.
I know there's a sneaky new race on the radar too from Queensland. I'm not allowed to say what it is, but I do know it's there, and that will become on the radar for quite a few of those and be super exciting. That could be our winter holiday. You and I might end up
for
the winter.
You're good at getting sponsors, so I don't, you know, I've got the right man to rely on if we're going to get there.
We say about their high class horses, unfortunately we're robbed of Bolt for Brilliance coming out of the series, but we've got Majestic Mountain over there in New Zealand as well to add that intrigue back for the Great Southern Star. And I know Greg and Nina Hope are targeting that race. They're targeting and bringing him out there. There's going to be a couple of other trotters potentially coming up from New Zealand. So that then spices it up. It's not like we say, right, we know all the usual offenders. All of a sudden, we're going to have these other horses coming out.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. We've missed the New Zealanders being a part of our carnivals. There's been a tiny little sprinkle, and to lose Bolt for Brilliance, you know, it hurt. It was the only Kiwi trained horse in either of the pacing or trotting, and he went amiss there. So we need their presence in our carnivals. It's so important. So I do hope we don't just get Majestic Man, we get a number of those key horses in both of the gates, because they just add so much strength to our carnival. It's hard to envisage, really, when you think about it in harness racing over the years. There's plenty of horses with NZ at the end of their name, but there hasn't been as many that have been trained in New Zealand coming over here. COVID's obviously affected it. Our racing's been really good, but it sort of goes up another notch, doesn't it, when the Kiwis come?
There was a nice horse the other night too, Artie by the Hill, for Jenna and Robert Dunn. Won a Group 3 at Auckland the other night too. It was very impressive. Whether he's up to that and whether they bring him out, I don't know. But they have got some really nice ones. I think the other part, Sunday Sun, like I was fortunate enough to be over there for Dominion Handicap. We talk about highlights, and I didn't put this one on you, but Majestic Mountain and Sunday Sun, the battle that they had, one was sensational. And the buzz in that stable afterwards, it was just incredible on what was a high-class day. It was so good. Like you said, we forget about how good it is to have these rivals come across. Sunday Sun will never come to Australia because he wears two lugging poles and they can't wear them over here. But he's a brilliant horse. But it's so much fun when you get that intrigue of the Kiwis. And they've got a lot of very, very nice trotters over there.
Yeah, oh, look, they have indeed. I remember, you know, at a really impressionable stages in my life, and then when I got to be calling, one of the early stages when I took on this job at Harness Racing Victoria, sort of through the mid-90s to the late 1990s, and you had your Pride of Petite Wagon Apollo, you had your Knight Pistol, Buster Hanover. Buster Hanover was the horse that he made me want to get a trotter. which I ended up doing. And I went through Mark Purton. I ended up getting a trotter called Wahima Hanger, and we got him as a yearling. We had to be patient, wait for him to come through. And Mark assures me he was every bit as good as Buster Hanover and Pride of Petite, but he broke down early. He won some big races and all that sort of stuff. But that presence, I mean, who could ever forget Pride of Petite's performances, winning Inter Dominions, the Adelaide Inter Dominion, and that finish with Night Pistol and Wagon Apollo. That's something to behold. It's probably one of the best trotting finishes you'll ever see. And then just after that, you had your Sundance Way was coming across. You had Africa, and then it stepped up even another notch, I think, when Lyle Creek and just after him Take a Moment as well.
Yeah, no, it was sitting here at Maribor, I was just having some lunch, and I was looking up at the honour board, and I've always, like, I had a great association with Graham Johansson and True Roman. Looking at the honour board, and there's a horse called Young Trooper. I remember driving him at the trials when I was 16 years old, right? And it was the greatest buzz ever. He won the inaugural Redwood here on Redwood Day, so I think it was a great one. They are on the track, Dan. Very quickly, your highlights, you said there about Just Believe. Any of the other sort of highlights coming through for the last year?
Look, I definitely Just Believe. I think it's fresh in my mind as well. I tell you what I've really been impressed with. It's the quality of trotter at the youngest age, the two-year-old ranks, and in particular the fillies this year. I think the fillies are better than the colts at the moment. What we've seen with Susan is her name, Rockin' With Attitude, and there's a few others that are right on the periphery there as well. So it's the best depth in two-year-old fillies in the trotting ranks I've ever seen. So that augurs really well.
It does indeed, and it seems to be a lot of fillies, doesn't there? We were saying before, like all the Antons, we're saying, trying to think of the good ones. These fillies just keep coming through. They're so fast, so balanced. They really are. Dan, thank you. I had a great chat with you earlier on in the year. I'd like to do more stuff with you, but thank you for joining me for the Talking Trotters. I'm just here at Maribor and having a bit of fun. Always love hearing you. Love hearing your calls, and thank you very much. Keep up the passion, mate, and well done for your call at the Inter Dominion. It was brilliant, mate. So thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure, Paul. Anytime. These gaps between races are long enough. So if you're on track, any time to fill in the 40 minutes, I'm putting my hand up. I'm here, mate, if you want me.
Thank you very much, Dad.
Thanks, mate. 2020 two-year-old Breeders' Crown Champion, setting a race record previously held by Walna.
On a streak wins the Breeders' Crown.
O'Brien two-year-old trotting colt of the year.
On a streak upsets in the William Welbert Memorial.
One of the fastest two-year-old trotters to ever stand in Australasia.
He's such a professional. As soon as he saw open air, he just took off.
Son of leading US sire Cantab. On a streak, standing his first season at Cobbity Equine Farm in 2022.